We're gonna be calling Shannon Hyde.
Downey, oh, this is your team. Please meet us at Dairy Queen. We miss you, Downey. Please. Please call your own Downey.
My name is Shannon Hyde, and I'm running to be your junior class president.
Whoa, where'd the seat cushion go?
Wait, we forgot.
Shannon, did...
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of The Shannon Show, the best military kids podcast, with another episode here today. And today we have another military kid joining us. Haley is joining the show. Haley, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
That's great. I am doing spectacular. I do want to say one thing just before we start, because I know there's been, like, you don't have to comment on it if you don't want to, but there's just been a lot of things going on in the news recently surrounding the invasion of Ukraine. I'm not going to beat around the bush. But I just want to send out a message to military kids, particularly those in Europe that, you know, we're thinking about them. I know that can be a little stressful time for the military kid community, just kind of wondering, you know, if the U.S. might have to intervene in any sort of way. And, you know, that's part of the military kid lifestyle. Anytime there's a big world conflict, you just kind of think about the worst case scenario. But, yeah, I just want to let everyone know that we're here for them. And if anyone wants to talk, obviously I'm here. There's so many great military kid communities, and we're wishing everyone the best and hope that all sorts of things can be resolved. And I think it's just a great time to be proud of the community we're involved in and the people who keep us safe and free. So
Definitely. That's
all I have on that. Haley, I want to start talking to you about your military kid background, which I'm obviously very interested in. You mentioned before the pod that both of your parents served, which is pretty unique. You don't hear about that too often, but what's it like growing up in a household with both parents having time in the military?
It's actually very interesting to hear that, you know, my mom is one of those people that, you know, she wants to get out and serve and help people. And my dad was the same exact way. And, you know, growing up in that lifestyle, it can be challenging at times, but, you know, you got to work around the schedules. You got to try and make time and effort for your families. And sometimes it can get hard, but you learn to work through it.
Gotcha. The way I grew up is my dad was, what branch were they a part of?
Both Marine Corps.
Both Marine Corps, man. So obviously my dad was Marine Corps 20 years, just like you said your dad was. But my mom, no military connection. So it was kind of like, there was kind of like a balance in the house for me. It's kind of like my dad was a little more strict at times. Well, my mom was, you know, she didn't have that Marine Corps background. If you have a parent in the Marine Corps, you understand. But for you, did you feel like you didn't have that balance at times, just having two Marines being your parents?
I mean, my dad was always, you know, he was always at work, but, you know, he wasn't always strict on me. I think the most strictest person was my mother, because she just wanted, she wanted that good lifestyle for me, and she knew what was going on and what was right from wrong. So, you know, I grew up in a balanced lifestyle. I was totally fine with, you know, sometimes I got yelled at. It's part of life.
It happens, yeah.
So
that is interesting, though. I don't know if I've had very many people on the podcast before with two parents, especially two Marine parents. But you mentioned that you spent some time in Okinawa along with Camp Pendleton, California, where I was also born. So it looks like there's a lot of overlap here already. And I also moved from Okinawa to North Carolina. But just tell me about the places you've lived and just kind of a little bit of your story.
So born in Camp Pendleton, California. Was there for just, I would say, over 3 years, and then we started moving to Japan, Okinawa, quite frequently. We'd go back and forth every 3 years now and then. You know, and moving to those two, you know, areas every so often, I was so used to having the same old friends in that area, you know. And I practically lived at every base in Okinawa. Kinzer, Foster, Kadena, you know, there's not one base that you can't name that I haven't lived there. So it was definitely a great adventure for me. It definitely, moving to North Carolina has been a big change for me, but you know, there's so much to see and do in the United States and also out. So I think it was a big game changer for me to see what more there is to see out here than just those two spots that I'm always used to going.
Yeah. Why were you going back and forth so often? Because usually that's not the most common, but I have heard of moving back to a place you've been to before. But why was it just Okinawa and California so frequently?
You know, we Me and my dad, we were big beach bums. We love surfing. So, you know, we would always go back home, you know, surf for however long we were there. We enjoyed the beach. But, you know, I think Okinawa was one of those deal breakers where we got to live out of the U.S. and I got to experience that as a kid, knowing that I can tell my future kids or any future kid, hey, look, if we go out of the U.S., don't be afraid. You know, it's something amazing to look forward to.
Yeah. So did you enjoy your time in Okinawa as a whole?
Definitely. I would say that, you know, I tried to make the best of what I could, especially as a young kid. You know, you don't really understand the island. You're kind of just going off to wherever you want and you're, you know, just lollygagging around. But I think when you grow up, you kind of understand the, you know, you don't really see all that you want to because you don't have that ability to thrive out there. You know, you want to get to know places. So, you know, it was definitely, you know, I miss it every day. I wish I could go back. And, you know, with some of the things that we have to go through to go back into the, you know, Okinawa, it's a difficult process.
Right. It is very... It's difficult because you can feel so connected to a place like Okinawa and you can feel like it's your home, but it's so far away. Like you said, it's not impossible to go back, but it's so expensive. And, you know, it's a big trip just to go back there. And it can be difficult, you know, getting back on base, especially if your parents are retired or if you don't have any military connection. So it's just difficult having a place so familiar to you, feels so much like home, so far away and so distant. And I've absolutely felt that before. I remember as soon as I got back to the States, I'm like, I need to go back and visit. But it's just not something that's necessarily, you know, possible for you. Like, just quite frankly, it's just something that's not really an option a lot of the times. So I definitely feel you on that. You mentioned that you're part of Okinawa Dolphin Swim Team, which I was not a part of, but I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with the Camp Foster pool, just like that area. I played a lot of baseball in the field right next to it. So I saw a lot of the Dolphin swim team just practicing every day. How did you get involved and, you know, what was it like?
You know, I was very athletic as a kid, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I could try any sport that I could. And, you know, if something didn't work, I had to make something else work for me. And at the time, I know, I remember having Aiden Leggio on my team with me.
Oh, there you go. I love Aiden.
Yeah, Aiden was my best bud. We, you know, he was my number one supporter. We both supported each other through triathlons, any type of athletic event that we could go through together. And, you know, it's one of those things where going into swimming, you don't really understand the technique and difficulty as a young kid. But when you start getting out there and you know you have other teammates standing by you, you understand that it's, you know, it's all about enjoying it, having fun. You know, it was definitely a good ride for me. And I, you know, I even tried swimming here and it just wasn't my thing. You know, I have to have the people I grew up with to kind of support me going through what I have to go through.
Sure. And something that's different about Okinawa just, you know, is that there's not a ton of options. Like in the States, if you want to join a swim team, you know, you could look at so many different swim teams that you could join. But in Okinawa, it's the Dolphins, or if you want to look off base, I guess that's possible. But you're very limited, and it's just a very small, tight-knit community. So I can definitely see how that can be, you know, empowering for you to swim well. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I'm an awful swimmer. I could never. That sounds like fun. You mentioned triathlons as well. What is that? Is that biking, running, swimming?
Yep, so all three obstacles, me and Aiden, we ended up doing the, it was Camp Kadena's triathlon that we did together when we were, I want to say about, it was like 8 or 9 is when we started doing it.
Wow.
And we were just, we were going crazy at it because we both just wanted to see how far we could go and if we could actually make it. And, you know, I remember getting past that line and, you know, we both supported each other and we're like, you know what, no matter what place we came in today, we both ended up finishing the race together.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was very special in my life at the time.
Are you guys still in touch?
I'm not in touch with a lot of people right now just because, you know, things have been escalated, and, you know, I've been having some difficult moments, but, you know, there are times that I do want to reach out and say, you know, hey, how are you doing? Like, I know you remember Max Wiley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met him and his sister on base at in North Carolina here, so.
Oh, that's fantastic. Look at all this overlap. How old were you when you met them?
So, Max and Zoe, I met when I was in seventh grade, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever seventh grade is.
We're just going to put out that whenever seventh grade was. But yeah, I met them there, and then Aiden, and then, you know, Kai Grubbs.
Of course, Kai Grubbs.
I remember.
He lived in Okinawa his whole life, so anyone who's lived there knows Kai Grubbs.
Yep. As soon as I seen the podcast, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, gotta love it.
That is so funny. That does happen sometimes where there's just like people, because I wasn't there. I was only there for 3 years, and that's pretty typical. People go there for just like short stops. So there's people like, you know, Aiden, Kai Grubbs, and Henry, their friend group that just lived there for forever. So anyone who's been through there just, you know, knows them. And the Wideleys are great too. Love Max. He wasn't on that long ago. He was, he's all right. He's good. Nice guy. Nice guy. He's always great too. Well, I got a preposterous predicament for you. Just a little fun would you rather like to do on the podcast. So if we could play the saw music and we can get going here.
Ooh. 3 seconds on the clock. I'm playing basketball. Mm-hmm. It's time for an in-your-face disgrace. Are you okay?
Would you rather, Haley, for the rest of your life always have a runny nose or cough after every word you say? So both are not great symptoms to be having, pretty miserable no matter what. I'm sorry to put you in this situation. Sometimes these preposterous predicaments are like pretty uplifting. Actually, they never are. They're always disgusting or miserable, but this is just part of the game. I'm sorry.
I'd probably say at this point I'd rather have a runny nose because with the whole coronavirus, I feel like if I cough after every word, they'd be like, you got something going on with you. So
that is true.
I'd probably have that.
Coughing in public used to just not be that big of a deal, but now it's like people kind of look at you funny. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why if I got a cough, I'll do it somewhere else. I'm good. Mm-hmm.
That is very true. I did not consider that. The runny nose is terrible. I get awful allergies. I feel like I already go through that with the springtime anyways. Not fun. No, but it is probably the lesser of the two out of pick. So I'll also go runny nose. Yeah, I guess it's not that deep, but it sounds sounds miserable. Anyways, let me know what you guys think in the comments or whatever. Let me know. Runny nose or cough after every word. Get shamed by people in public for thinking you have coronavirus. But in reality, it was just a preposterous predicament from the Shan Show. I should really shorten those words. That is a mouthful.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a lot to say, just saying it.
It's always what it's been. It's always been preposterous predicament. I feel like I can't change it now. I'm too far in. But this is only like episode 71, Haley. I can't just call it the would you rather question.
True.
Yeah,
you
we're
got
too
a good
far.
Point.
I gotta keep up with it. So, tell me about your move from Japan to North Carolina, because that was a difficult move for me. I think you already mentioned it was difficult for you. Just moving back to the States, but not only back to the States, but to the East Coast. I moved to a very rural part of the state, the middle of it, Mooresville, north of Charlotte area. So it was a very big. You know, just change in scenery for me that came with a lot of obstacles. You didn't have that military community around you anymore, at least for me. But what did you have to deal with for that transition?
I knew as soon as my dad said that we were getting shipped off again, he had the two, either we're going back to California or we're going to North Carolina or we're staying there. And I was like, I'd rather stay in Okinawa where I'm happy at than come to North Carolina, because at the time, a lot of kids were ranting that North Carolina and Camp Lejeune just weren't the best place to be at. And I was like, you're not helping my situation any better. Like, if it has to come down to this, like, this is where I'm going to be living. But at the end of the day, you know, I sucked it up. This is where we had to go. So, you know, I met a lot of good friends throughout my way. I have a lot of brothers that I've been with since, yeah, you know, I can remember. And, you know, I reach out to them because, you know, they are serving in our military. And, you know, they've helped me grow along the way since I've been here. So I'm very grateful, gotcha, to have them.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing that a lot of military kids face. You could be in a place where you're really happy and you just feel like everything's perfect and it's just taken away from you so quickly. It could be in a place that you feel like it's a paradise, like Okinawa, and no shots at Camp Lejeune. I've been on Camp Lejeune. It's not the best. I don't know. I never went to school there. I've only visited. And I've had some friends who have lived on base there. But, you know, it could be a downgrade in a lot of ways. It can really feel like that, that you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough. It really is.
It was definitely a downgrade, I would only say, because I remember being in, our school was called Brewster Middle School, mm-hmm, and not criticizing anything, but the fact that when I first got in there, they changed our whole dress code around, and they were like, you either wear red, white, or blue polos with khaki pants.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I was like, you know, it shouldn't be that big of a problem. And then I remember going to school one day and I got thrown out of class for wearing the wrong shade of blue.
Wrong shade of blue.
Yep.
What shade of blue were you wearing?
Apparently it was like a lighter shade than like.
How dare you? What is wrong with you? A lighter shade of blue? This is an on base, right?
Yeah, this was on
it
base.
It is on base? Oh, wow. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, and I got into it was a whole fiasco that day because my mom had to bring me a different color shirt. I had to switch out and I ended up yelling at my school principal at the time. Aww. But at the time things were going rough and I actually ended up getting into a meeting with a bunch of high schoolers when I was in seventh grade because of our high school policy. And, you know, it definitely opened up a lot of kids' eyes to see that I was the younger one there, but I was the only one talking about the problem and was trying to fix it, not trying to degrade anybody from it.
Yeah. So it was a meeting about the dress code?
Yeah. So okay. They were just talking about how, you know, obviously nowadays you see people wearing holes in their jeans, crop tops, whatever. Mm. But as I was trying to explain to them that, you know, there's kids out here trying to express themselves the way that they are. Now, there are certain limits to that, but at the same time is we don't have to put it on where we need to wear khakis and polos every single day of our life. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not how the way the world works. So we quickly got a good understanding of that, and they've changed their dress code ever since that I started that meeting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So there's no more khakis and polos? Fantastic. I was gonna say I hadn't heard about that on Dodea schools. There's always been controversy in Dodea schools about dress codes. However, definitely at Kubasaki High School. You never went to Kubasaki then, did you?
I was supposed to, and then I got changed.
Yeah, I really loved it there, and it was fantastic. But people had issues with the dress code. I feel like it's almost every high school. There's always just something, like the girls want to wear something, and they're not allowed to. And it's always just, I'm neutral on this. I'm very much in the middle. I don't really care what people wear. I do think it's weird whenever the teachers have to, like, you know, there's like 3-finger rules for like shirts, or like the pants can only be like down to their fingertips or something. I just feel like that's very strange. I don't think teachers should be putting their like hands down or like on the girls' shoulders. This is very uncomfortable situations that, or even just the teachers having to police that, I feel like can be uncomfortable. It's like they're in charge of like looking at what everyone's wearing and making sure that they're the judge of what's appropriate or not. So I don't know. I don't know what the best way to handle that is. I know that everyone wants to express themselves. I know that teachers probably don't want to be the ones monitoring it. There seems to be no good solutions.
Not at all.
No. Go ahead. Yeah.
I would say at this point, like, that it's just like there's no changing it. It is what it is at this point. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people are going to be able to say much about the situation. Just because I feel like a lot of kids have spoken up for what they think is right, and people are just taking it a different way, and they're going to want to take it whatever way they want to. So there's not much we can say or do.
Exactly. And I do think it's really important for students to speak up on it if they feel that it's important or they feel strongly about it. I feel that way for pretty much anything. If there's any student body that feels like something needs to be changed in their school, then go for it. I think that's a great lesson for life after high school as well. It's just if you feel strongly about something, you want to make a change, then go ahead and do it. You know, I don't think the dress code is that important, but there's also just like a generational divide. Like old people are just going to be a little more conservative. They grew up a certain way. They grew up more with the school uniforms and, you know, just more conservative clothing. Whereas younger people, they want to express themselves or they want to dress more freely or they want to wear less. I don't know. Everyone stay warm, stay happy. I don't care.
I hear that one.
Dress code podcast. We can make a whole episode. Should I have the dress code debate podcast? That'd be fantastic.
That totally work.
Anyways, you mentioned FFA. Could you explain that? And, you know, you're a part of it.
Yeah, yeah. So when I actually have my shirt on,
there this you was go. My
gotta support them. Yeah, so my freshman year, when I'd first come off base to a public school, this was my first time, and I was super nervous because I was like, Lord, like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I don't know what to, like, expect at all coming from an off-base school or on-base school to an off-base school. So I had just kind of selected random classes. I wasn't really, you know, very picky for much, but I got into digital media and she just started yelling these words out at me. And I'm like, I really don't have any clue what you're saying. So I'm going to jump to a different class and see if I can change that one.
Sure.
And I ended up getting into Animal Science 1. And I remember my teacher, Ms. Truel, at the time, she would always rant about FFA, which stands for Future Farmers of America.
Okay.
And, you know, she was an advocate for it. I loved hearing about it. There wasn't, you know, she would always talk about banquets and ceremonies and all these good things of just our friends coming together and getting people to experience what we get to go through on a day-to-day basis, being an FFA leader and advocate for them. So I talked to her, we had a meeting and we discussed that we were going to start our first chapter here at the Topsail High School.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up doing it. I was one of the first officers on that team.
Gotcha.
So it was definitely a great journey for me. I loved doing it every single day.
Yeah. So what does that entail, being an officer, and what is Future Farmers of America all about? I'm obviously in the name, it's promoting students who want to be farmers in the future, I'm assuming, but.
So basically Future Farmers of America just means that we're advocating for people that do help us out with the produce that we are getting around the world. We loved it. You know, what they do as, you know, it doesn't have to be just farmers. We advocate for, I was going to go into agribusiness and be a teacher. And, you know, there's so many types of stuff that goes into just not only farming in general, just being an advocate for them. And that was the main thing that we had, was we wanted to create that at the high school for other students to see, because there were so many, when you're in North Carolina, you get a lot of country kids and they want to be able to, you know, go and hang out on the tractors or whatever. So that's what we wanted to start for our kids. And that's exactly what we did. But being an officer at the time, it just kind of meant that we were in a higher rank. So we were able to do, if we wanted to take the kids out on field trips, that's what we could do on our own time. And, you know, if the advisor wanted to stay back and work on something else while we took the kids out, that was totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something that we did as a group. At the time, we didn't really have a leader just because it was just getting started. We were trying to push the kids into being like, hey, this is out here. Come to it. If you don't like it, obviously there's still a lot of meetings to go, but, you know, just try and enjoy it. And, you know, we would do so much things that we brought in so many kids over the years that I was so proud of what we accomplished as officers. So it's definitely great for kids that, you know, want to get into that sort of activity. You know, we had CDE events, which are career development events, and we would do poultry judging, cow judging. I got what was it called? Job interviewing. I got first place in Federation. So there was a lot of things that you can do in there. And a lot of kids just want to create that special moment for themselves. And I'm proud of my students.
That's fantastic. That's not something you hear a lot about. I know in the country or just like anywhere in the South or anywhere where farms are more prominent, there are students who want to go into that field. But outside of that, I mean, it's just not talked about anywhere, especially in Dodea schools. From what I remember, there's not a whole lot of, I mean, even just like working with your hands or learning a trade or learning a skill like that is not talked about very much. And it's a very, it's an option that can be financially stable, obviously, and isn't college, which is pushed a lot. A lot of people push, you have to go to college, you have to get a degree, you have to work in STEM, you have to do this, you have to do that. But some people just want that simpler lifestyle or something that maybe their parents did that they also want to, you know, inherit. And yeah, farmers don't get enough love. More love for farmers.
Yeah, definitely. We got to love
give
these
kids
farmers
that option. I mean, there's really, there's kids who love doing that sort of thing, working with animals and working with plants, but then they're never told that that's an option for them. Like that can be their career and it can be really fruitful for them. So that's, I had never heard of that before in a high school program. But yeah, I would love to see that in more places, giving kids that option. Anything that gives kids more options and pathways for their career, I think is really good. More freedom to decide what they want to do and find what they really love. And if they try farming and they're like, wait, this is everything I would ever want in my life. Like, this is perfect for me. Then there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfect.
Yeah. No, I think we had a lot of kids come through whenever I was serving for a great many years. You know, I would try, and I actually have one of my students right now who works for the, it's called NCFFA, which is the whole state that he represents as a, an officer. And I remember bringing him in at such a young age and telling him, hey, here's something that you might enjoy. And I just remember seeing him working so hard at something that he's always wanted to be, and getting to see him face to face with being able to represent the state as a main officer has, you know, and he even told me, he's like, if it wasn't for you and what you did, then I would never be in this position.
That so must be really cool for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very proud of my kids. I really am.
That's great. What is cow judging? Can you tell me what cow judging is? You mentioned cow judging. How do you judge a cow?
Yeah. So basically, we have to tell, we have to be able to tell if it's male or female. I want to say
that's not too hard, right?
I mean, I would hope not. Some kids don't even know when they step in front of a cow for the first time. They're like, I don't know what is going on.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, to be funny, like, you remember, like, the movie Napoleon Dynamite where, like, he's tasting the milk?
Yes.
It could almost be like that, where we're tasting milk and figuring out where it came
from. Literally.
So, but yeah, it's just seeing, like, how the cow works, like where the intestines are, where liver is, stuff like that. You know, it's just basics. We definitely take the practice hours after school for you to be able to learn all about the cow before you go in and you start your performance, and you don't go out there just looking at a cow and you're like, I wonder what
this is. Cow, yes.
it's nothing else other than a cow.
Yes, this cow is a cow.
So, I mean,
it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's just, it's all simple stuff. You know, we have all types of CDEs out here for kids. And I think, you know, whenever we really started it, a lot of kids just were playing into the motion. And, you know, I remember, like, we would just be out there playing tug of war with a freaking strap out there or a rope. And I'm just like, these kids know how to have fun even when, you know, we don't have their proper equipment for anything. Like, we're still able to, you know, enjoy our time throughout our day.
Right. Well, I think that's just tremendous work. And, you know, we're really dependent on farmers. I think everyone knows that. And if we can keep on promoting kids to look into that pathway, I don't know what we I cannot speak. I don't know what we would do if we did not have farmers in the future.
I think we'd be lost without farmers at that point.
Absolutely. And it's not talked about or promoted in a way that you think would entice kids. And I think in a lot of ways it just naturally might not be enticing. It doesn't seem, you know, it's not, you're not getting famous, you're not working in some super cool industry. But I don't know, it's very necessary. And I think it's cool. Yeah. So you mentioned you like traveling as well. So what are your favorite places that you have been able to travel to? I know wherever you live in Okinawa, you're close to a lot of pretty cool sites and places that you could visit, other countries. Did you take advantage of that?
Yeah, so I remember we went to Hawaii for, nice. I think it was a week. That was probably like, not to say the worst week, but like the most difficult week, because when as mm-hmm. soon as we got to Hawaii and got to the resort, my dad forgot the card all the way in Okinawa.
What card?
The like his debit card, so he can pay for the resort. And jeez. I was like, that's so lovely.
That yeah, that's just, great.
I was like, just put it all on the credit card. We can pay it back in the next 20 years.
Oh my goodness.
And of course, we're still paying off the debt because it's just so expensive. But you know, it was definitely expensive. I'm not gonna lie about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely one of those things where it's a once in a lifetime for me to go to Hawaii. It was very beautiful. I got to sightsee mm-hmm. a lot, and even at a young age, just seeing a lot of beautiful stuff happening around you, you know, you enjoy it, you remember it, you try and grasp onto that moment because it only happens so much.
Yeah.
So, Hawaii was just our next little thing. But other than that, I want to say my main family is from Texas. That's okay. My mom's side of the family. So,
yeah.
And I know I look white on the outside, but I'm actually Mexican.
Not even. I wasn't like thinking that, but like, go ahead.
I was no, oh, wow. Like, I think dumb. a lot of people joke about it because they're literally like, wow, like, I did not think you were Mexican at all. And I'm like, yeah. And then whenever they see my mom, they're like, okay, I see where you get it from.
Gotcha.
But Mexican, oh sweet Lord, now I can't even talk.
I feel you, it happens to me all the time.
Texas was definitely a go-to state. I love going to Texas.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where when I'm around family, I get to see and do a lot with them.
Yeah.
We try and go down there at least every 2 to 3 years for a family reunion. You know, there's Tennessee, definitely another main one that I love going to.
Yeah.
Because I'm more of a mountain person at this point. So just love getting up in the mountains and relaxing, watching it from above.
Mm-hmm. That is a really cool feeling. Absolutely. Do you feel a real strong connection to your Mexican heritage?
I do. Definitely. It's one of those things where growing up, whenever we were moving so much, I didn't get to see my family. I mean, I saw them when I was about maybe 2 or 3 years old. That's when I first saw them. But obviously, I'm not going to remember that. Like, I was way too young. But I remember when we were coming back to North Carolina for the first time, we had run all the way across the states and we were just driving along. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're going to stop in Texas to see all the family members. And I was like, great. Like, you know, seeing all like my Mexican heritage, like this is amazing. You know,
the only thing like?
It was just, you know, you definitely get to taste a lot of different food that you haven't before. You know, I know some people aren't into like they think we have some weird food, but it's okay. Like, you know, I always say you at least got to try something one time for you to say you can't, you don't like it.
Oh, of course, right. Yeah, I feel like that goes for a lot of military kids. You're going to try so many new things and be exposed to so many new cultures that you just have to give it a shot because you never know. You might end up loving it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's how I definitely felt. And, you know, I would say a lot of the stuff that we've made over the past reunions that I've had with them, I've loved every single meal. I ain't missing one meal per day.
That's fantastic. I want to talk just a little bit more about Okinawa before we wrap it up. Just some of your favorite, maybe your favorite restaurants or some of your favorite places on the island. You said you lived on every almost every base, I think you said.
Yeah.
So you definitely have had a lot of time on all parts of the island. So what are some of your favorite aspects about the island life?
I mean, the island life, it's just, it's such a beautiful place. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, if I could take anybody out there just for even a day to go and visit the island and be like, this is such a beautiful life that we have out here, and we're not able mm-hmm. to enjoy it because we're so far away. But it's something that people need to consider is, you know, why not visit outside the states more? And mm-hmm. I mean, I think one of my main go-to restaurants was the Garlic House.
Where was that?
I don't think Garlic House. It was like in downtown.
You're good.
Cause like thinking back now, like I'm honestly, I would always just remember seeing like the casinos and the big slot machines outside. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can't remember like where exactly the Garlic House was located. But yeah, that's definitely one of my main two spots was just, mm-hmm. I don't know why, something about it just wanted me to go there every single day.
Yeah. There's so much good food on the island. I talk about it. People are probably tired of hearing me talk about the Okinawan food, but it's great. You have to go check it out. It's such a hard place to tell people to go visit. Like I said before, it's just, it's really out of the way. It's not a really popular, tourist spot for Americans. But yeah, like you said, living there is just really special. And I think we're so fortunate that that's even an option for military kids, you know, just having bases there that gives us that possibility to live there. I've learned so much. I have such a strong connection there. I would love to go back and take someone and be like, hey, this is what it was like. This is where I used to live. This is how I grew up. Even though I was only there for 3 years, I feel like I did a lot of my growing up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's hard not to. It's like you're on your own in a foreign country. It's like you just kind of, you learn a lot about yourself and about the people around you and another culture, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think that's one of the main things is, you know, even though I was so young, like I would roam outside of, like, I'd go to American Village like every single night and just roam around like it was nothing. I was like, oh, what's the worst that can happen here? Like it's just a cool place to come hang out and skateboard on the seawall and do whatever.
Yeah. I loved American Village as well. A lot of people hang out there for a long time. Like my guest last week, she went to Kubasaki in the 90s and she was talking about how they used to always hang out in American Village. And I think that goes back for several decades, just being a very popular spot for American military kids.
Definitely.
That's probably why they call it American Village. Not very American though, if you're actually there. Not too American. There's some funny.
No.
I love it whenever they try to like have their rendition of American foods. And in Okinawa, it's not always spot on, but it's really amusing to me. There's like this one store that was just like American Meatloaf. It was just, that was like the name of the store. I'm like, oh, wow, that must be delicious. I did not try.
Wow. That's the first one I've heard of.
Yeah. There's a lot of stores like that where they just try to have like their own American take on something. There was like a hot dog shop. I'm like, I'm not sure if that's going to be how I used to have in, you know, wherever, Philly or Florida. I'm not sure if that's going to be the same. So that's why I usually stuck to the Japanese food. Pretty safe bet.
Yeah, that's why.
Family Mart or Lawson's?
Oh my gosh. Family Mart all the way.
I mean, that's incorrect, but it's fine. It's literally fine.
Like that was my go-to thing was I'd always go to Family Mart. Mm-hmm. I think I would go to Lawson's like every once in a while if I really had to go, but I mean Family Mart was my go-to. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
The first year I was there, my family was in an apartment off base, so that's always a little bit of a different experience living off base, and there's a Lawson's just right next to us. So I guess I'm a little biased, and that's what I tried first. That's what I had frequently. But I do think they have better food. I think if you want the better entree or food options, like meals, it might be Lawson's. Family Mart, maybe the drinks? I don't know. I'll have to go back. If I ever go back, I'll do a YouTube video for everyone, just like a breakdown. Like, which is better, once and for all?
Yeah.
Just like a thorough debate.
Yeah, that'd probably help a lot.
People are pretty passionate about it. I guess if we're being honest with each other, they're really similar, but it's a fun little debate for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Haley, I really appreciate you doing this. Is there anything else you want to talk about, military kid related, non-military kid related? It could be random that you want to share on the podcast, or we can just wrap it up. That's all I got.
I mean, I just want to thank you for letting me come on your show. It's definitely a good experience coming out and just getting to know and see everybody that I used to be, you know, friends with. obviously, it's a big eye-opener to other kids that aren't in the military or getting into that military lifestyle. They'll get to see that, you know, they look up to people like you for putting military kids like us out there.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I think it's also really cool, like you said, just to see people. And it's kind of a way to keep in touch with people, just to see how other people are doing. You know, some of your old friends, you're like, oh, wow, they're doing well. That's good to see. So I'm glad that I can be, you know, do that at the very least. Just kind of keep everyone updated with how everyone's doing, like a little family reunion podcast for military kids. But yeah, I really appreciate it. And until next week, guys, we'll have another Shannon Show. Thank you.